And so we're not great because of our talents, our abilities. Just because we're good at something. Some of us, we all have something that we're good at or we enjoy doing. We may not even be good at it, but we enjoy doing it. We have talents. Some of us can figure out music. Where are you? There you are. How long before you could play a beat on the drums? How long did it take you before you could get kind of a beat? When you sit down. Yes, I remember someone asking him, "Oh, how long have you been playing drums?" The first time, he's like, "Oh, a couple days." And they're like, "What?" "Yeah, well, the church needed a drummer, so I just sat down and figured it out." I'm going to tell you, yeah, was that accurate? That's his wife laughing. Yeah. And I'm going to tell you something. My whole family can play. Like, they can pick up an instrument, and in an hour, they could play music. They may not be great, but they could play. They might be off a little key every once in a while, but they could get it. They could get the drums. They could get the guitar. Just the piano. They just sat down. They would hear the keys. They would hear, the strumming, whatever it was, and they could pick it. Well, like an hour, they had a beat. They could do it. Now, and they were great singers. My family would travel to churches and sing together. Me included. Now, it was when I was 19, my father told me this. This is what my father told me at 19. He said, "Son, you remember when we used to travel and sing?" I'm like, "Oh, yeah." He said, "You were so bad. You were just terrible. And I tried so hard with you. I really did." And he did. He tried to get me to play the drums. He tried to get me to play the piano. He tried to get me to play the guitar. And he says, "Okay, let's try the bass. Let's going down to something he thought I could finally do." And he said, "You just couldn't do any of it. You didn't have an ear for it. You couldn't hear. You were so off pitch." He says, "Your microphone, when we would sing, I cut it. No one ever heard you, and you were so bad." He says, "Do you know how the spacing, where I was, where your mom was, where your two sisters were, and where you were?" I'm like, yeah. He's like, "I had to put you on the end because you were so bad. If I heard you, you would throw me off." I told my father, I said, "Daddy, I could have lived and died and not known that. I just thought somewhere in puberty I missed it all. Something happened, something clicked, and I just couldn't sing anymore." But he's like, I didn't want you to know that. I didn't want you to live that lie. I wanted you to know you're terrible. You're absolutely horrible. And there's no chance of you ever getting any better because I've tried." He said, "The only call on your life is to preach, and that is it. I guess the Lord knew if you could sing, you would truly never shut up." That's what my father told me. I believe a lot of that to be true. I have a hard time shutting up now. Could you imagine if I could sing? Ugh. Some of y'all are beginning to picture that now. Most of my sermons would be sung if I could sing. I would. I would sing my sermons if I could sing. I sing now in the house all the time with my kids, and my wife corrects me and tells me the song, it doesn't sing like that. And I'm like, "Well, I apologize that they got it wrong." This one I hate. She's asked me this: "Who sings that song?" And then I'd tell her, and she said, "Yeah, let's keep it that way." Ushers, take that lady out right there who clapped for that. Take her out. And so we do have talents, and some of us may not have the same talents. And some of us may wish we had talents that we don't have. And so my point is, in all of this, is you may have some great things about you. You may be able to talk freely with people. You may be able to be like Mr. Mayo, pick an instrument up and with an hour have a beat, have the ability to play. And some of you may just have the ability to pick up something mechanical and work on it and get it fixed, to get it running, even though you never even knew how it worked to begin with. Yes, you may have 3 screws left over, but those wouldn't important anyway. And if they were, it wouldn't have worked, and you wouldn't have had them left over to begin with. That's how it works when I work on things. Except a car. I always try to find those parts. But you are great. You have abilities on the inside of you, and what makes you great is not because you're good at stuff. What makes you great is because the grace of God, His hand is upon you, His destiny is on your life, His destiny for you was created before you were born. The Bible tells us before the foundations of the earth, before the world was ever created, God knew your name. Not only did He know your name, He knew your abilities, He knew the plan He had for you, He had a destiny mapped out for your life. Do you ever hear someone sing and know that's what they were called to do? I mean, just the moment they open their mouth, you know that was a calling on their life. I'm not saying they're using it for the Lord. I'm just saying, because guess what? The calls and the gifts of God are without what? Repentance. In other words, it doesn't matter. You can miss the mark and the calls are still there. I believe there are a lot of used car salesmen that would make excellent evangelists. Excellent. They would be fantastic at it. I believe there are so many people, and singers, and let me tell you this, if you are anointed to sing, it doesn't mean that you should be a Christian artist. Doesn't mean you shouldn't be a Christian artist. But this is it. I'm so sick of the Christian world running away from the world and hiding, or withdrawing from the world. We're not meant, what are we called? What does the Bible, we are the light of? We're not the light of God, we are the light of the world. And if we get out of the world, if we withdraw from the world, where will they get light? We are the salt of the earth. If the salt leaves the earth, what point? What point is to be salty? What point is it to be bright? Unless you're in your destiny and doing what God has called you to do. I loved that at the Grammys this year, you didn't see it on TV because they didn't air it, but how many Christian artists were up for awards? I'm trying to think. Bethel was there. I'm trying to think. What's the church from originated in Australia? They were there too. Hillsongs were there. Jesus Culture was there. They were nominated. Why? Because they're using the gift of God on the inside of them that even the world can't deny. They may try not to show it on air, because they're not provocative and they won't do certain things that the rest of them will do, but they acknowledge the gift on the inside of them. And I went back to this. I've used this example, but I love it. I never remember the girl's name. I'm not going to remember her name. But when they were judges, don't even know what show it was because I don't care about those shows, but every once in a while I'll watch them. And so I remember there was a girl that was singing, and one of the judges says, I don't know what it is, but when you started singing, I felt it on the inside of me. You just had that it factor. It's there. You got it. And then there was a girl that was raised in the church who sings, and when it was her turn, she says, I know what you have. It is the anointing. You are anointed to sing. Even though she wasn't using her gift to edify the Lord, the anointing, the gift, the call, the destiny has always been there. Whitney Houston was anointed. Whether you like him or not, Eminem is anointed. Oh, some of you might get upset with me about all these singers. There are people. There are people. I was speaking in tongues. Interpret that. There are people that are anointed. There are painters, drawers, artists that are anointed that when you watch, you look, it just pulls you in. And if your definition of anointing is preaching the gospel, your definition of anointing is so shallow and needs to be changed. I sense the presence of God in art galleries. There is artwork that I stare into and get lost and sense the presence of God. Why? Because they were anointed. Guess what? Every gift, every calling, everything that makes you great, a part of it is a part of God. Your ability to create and fix, that is a part of God. Your ability to create artwork and draw, that is a characteristic of our Father. Just look at a sunset. Look at the clouds in the sky. Go beneath the ocean and look at the ground, the fish. The birds that fly in the air. If you tell me God is not an artist, you haven't even looked at his creation. And each and every one of us has a piece of him on the inside of us that seems to come natural. Now let me say something. Just because it doesn't come natural to you is not an excuse to only go with what comes natural to you. Because you have got to work on the rest of yourself and become a greater disciple of Jesus than you've ever been. And so there's some of us that we need to look at our life and change it, because we look into the mirror of God, which is his word, and we see that something's out of place. So we're able to then fix it. And some of us, we're so thankful for mirrors that we can't pass one without looking and staring at ourselves, or getting an elevator that is stainless steel and look and fix things. And if you do that daily, my goodness, how much more should we look into the Word of God? And a lot of us think our nose in a Bible. And I'm going to say, that's a good place for it to be. But how about meditating on the Word all the time? Scripture is coming to our mind constantly. See, this is it. I think we miss this. Acknowledge God in all our ways and he will direct our path. Acknowledge God. Acknowledge him in everything. Acknowledge him in the sunset. Acknowledge him when favor comes your way. Acknowledge him when you get rock star parking. Don't tell me you haven't thanked God when a parking spot up front pulls open. Or you hit all green lights. Yeah. Okay, we got some people. And then I'm going to go the other way. So all y'all that just hallelujah, I expect you to do the same on this one. When you get the spot that is the furthest away. Yes. Or you get every red light known to mankind. Acknowledge God in all your ways. How can you acknowledge God in both? One, favor. Two, you don't know if you would have got all the green lights, what would have happened? And two, how about this? Preferring our brothers. Maybe someone else needed all the green lights. Do you need a green light every day? What is it going to do? Get you home 2, 3, 4 minutes faster? What if you don't get all the red lights? Father, maybe you saved me from something. Maybe I didn't need to be in that spot at that time. Acknowledge God in all your ways. The more you acknowledge him in life, the more you give him access to direct your path. The more you acknowledge him, the more you see him in everything. You know, there was an article, and I'm trying to remember, I think it was People's Magazine, but don't quote me on that. You can look it up. It was called The Luck Factor. And it was those who believed that they were lucky. And they interviewed people who believed that they were not lucky, and they interviewed people who they believed were lucky. And guess what they found? Both sets of people had horrible things happen to them. I'll give you an example. One of the lucky people had a horrible accident where they were in a coma, they broke several bones in their body, and they said, I was so lucky. And the interviewer said, how in the world were you lucky? I could have died. I should have died. And I was lucky. And what they came away from this study was that what you acknowledge in front of you, you will always see it. In good circumstances and in bad circumstances. And when you put God in front of you and you acknowledge him in all your ways, you will see him in every tragedy that has happened in your life. You will acknowledge him, his favor, his love, his ability to get you out of the mess that you are in. And then you'll see him in every good thing that happens. You'll see him in the mundane. You'll see him in everything when you begin to acknowledge him in everything. When you begin to say, good morning, Daddy. When you begin to say, thank you, Holy Spirit. When you begin to say, I thank you so much. Father, I just thank you for this day. I thank you. I thank you. Even in all this, it was bad. Even though I see no good that could possibly come out of this, I thank you that you said you can turn everything around for my benefit, for my good. And I believe that and I acknowledge that. And I have no idea how it's going to happen. But I praise you anyway in advance that I believe you have the ability to do something that I could never see or conceive in my own mind. When we begin to acknowledge him in everything, that is when he truly begins to direct our path in everything. Romans 8 and chapter 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walks not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit in Christ Jesus has made me free. Look at your neighbor and say, made me free. From the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in who? Us. The righteousness in the law was fulfilled in each and every one of you. Oh, verse 4, let's just start right there. For the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. Can I tell you something? What you put before you, you draw to you. When you put the flesh, and that's what you're after, you'll see it everywhere. When you put before you everything that is fleshly minded, that is not spiritual consciousness, you will find it everywhere. If things make you happy, and that's where you get your joy from, you will go broke because you will never have enough money to buy all your joy. Because let me tell you something, I've heard this statement, and I believe it's pretty true. Those who say money can't buy you happiness has never had a jet ski. Or a four-wheeler, or a snowmobile, thank you. Snow's cold. I don't do that stuff. That's cold. I don't ice fish. You know why? Because you're sitting on ice. Thank you. I don't sit on ice. No, thank you. I'm sure there's people in here that would disagree with me, but there's at least three that clapped. And so in all of this, look, money can bring you happiness. Preachers will stand up here and lie to you. They will say money cannot bring you happiness, cannot buy happiness. It will. You buy a new truck, you buy a new vehicle, you're happy. You may not be happy when you get the bill, but you're happy when you get it. You're excited. But the problem is, it ain't joy. Because joy comes from the Lord. Because happiness will flee. Happiness is an emotion. Joy is rooted and grounded on the inside. Joy can rejoice in the midst of a storm. Joy can rejoice when everything's going right. And joy stands up and sings to the glory of God when everything went wrong. Joy is the whole reason that we have the song, "All is well with my soul." It came out of turmoil. It came out of death of a man's family. And he was able to stand up and sing, "All is well with my soul." What in the world, in the flesh, can cause you to rise up and sing at the most terrible part of your life? It is the joy of the Lord, the hope of glory, that can cause you to stand when everything around you is falling apart. I'm not saying tears won't run down your face. I'm not saying that there's not something that will grip your heart. But I'm telling you, joy will overcome any weeping. Joy will overcome any sorrow. Joy is what will cause you to rise up in the morning and continue to face life and walk through things into victory. Happiness will flee from you, and if that's what it's based on, you will give up. You will be defeated, and you will sit down and say, "I can do no more." Because your self was based in happiness and not in the joy of the Lord. Now, for they that are after the flesh, they do mind the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. When you acknowledge the Spirit, you see Him everywhere. When you become to know more of who God is, when you have a greater relationship with God than you have ever before, and your relationship with God should continue to grow. It shouldn't stop. It should be a continuous process. And when your relationship with God is continually growing, you get to see Him everything. Your mind after the Spirit. So when something fleshly happens, when someone fleshes out, you can see them not after the flesh, but you can see them after the Spirit. You can see them as God sees them and not as the pain in the butt they are in the flesh. Oh, am I the only one that thought that about people? Okay. People that irritate you, rub you wrong, people that have the wrong mentality, people that are just so negative, people that just, for some reason, just oil and water. But you can see them the way the Lord sees them. And I'm going to tell you something. We need to, as a church, begin to see people as God sees them. I'm not saying that everybody needs to be your best friend and that everybody needs to stay in your house and that everybody needs to, you know, hang out with each other. There's some people in my own family that if we're going to continue to love each other like I'm supposed to love them, we need a lot of time away from each other. Thank you. Thank you. I know the rest of you have got yourself under control, but God's still working on me. Took Him just a week to make the moon and the stars, Jupiter and Mars, but God's still working on me. If y'all didn't go to Sunday school, y'all, so sad, so sad. You would have got that song in Sunday school. For to be carnal-minded is death. To be carnal-minded is death to your marriage. It is death to your future. It could be physical death. And we read this, and a lot of people go physical death. But to be carnal, a lot of carnal thoughts have killed marriages. A lot of carnal thoughts have got CEOs to fall. A lot of carnal thoughts have got CEOs that were making, you know, six-digit incomes out of their job and can't be hired anywhere else because they didn't have a godly thought. They had a carnal thought. There's been a lot of people who have committed suicide because of carnal thoughts. It brought death to them. There have been fathers who have no relationship with their children because they were carnal-minded. There are mothers who have no relationship with the father of their kids because of carnal mentality with their family. Everything's cut off because they were carnal. Death to dreams and visions and things they wanted to do as kids, things that God has called them to do. There will be some people that will live and die and never step into their destiny because they were carnal-minded. They'll miss it. But those that are spiritual-minded, to be spiritual-minded is life and peace. When all hell breaks loose and all the carnal-minded people are running like a chicken with their head cut off, are like Chicken Little. The sky is falling. The sky is falling. And you have peace on the inside of you. The stock market has crashed. Everything's going terrible. Your workplace is laying people off left and right. People that they didn't even see going to be laid off. The very people that never even saw it coming. Oh my God, if it happened to them, what are any of the rest of us got a chance? And they're running around. And maybe you have been laid off. Maybe you had a tragic thing happen in your life. And you now, you're able to see, well, Lord, I don't know how, but you'll take care of me. There's peace. I'm not saying you're not concerned and you're not crunching numbers and you're trying to figure out a budget. I'm not saying you're not doing any of that stuff, but there's peace in your heart where everybody else is freaking out. It's like the scene of The Purge in The Office. Never watched the movie. Just want you to know. Never seen it. But I've seen a commercial. Freaked me out. That's the whole reason I'll never watch it. I don't watch scary movies. You know why? Because I scream. And I don't like people to watch me scream. Especially my wife. So I never watch scary movies with her. But those that are after spiritual things, that are spiritual minded, it will bring life and peace. Verse 7. But the carnal minded is intimacy. Not that one. Enmity
against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. If your mentality is in the flesh. Let me tell you something. This is crazy. This is crazy. Do you know how many good Christian people have gotten so much trouble? Because they tried to do a nice thing, not in the spirit, but out of their own cotton-picking head. I'm just trying to be like Jesus, and it bites me in the rear. Maybe you never asked God if you should. Maybe you were not. Maybe there were some checks in your heart before you ever got started, and you did not follow after the peace of God, and you stepped in something you were never meant to be in the first place. Ooh, Lord, that brings it right home for us. It's because we read this and we think it's only doing bad things. Oh, how about trying to do the right thing that you had a check in your heart in the first place? Overriding the Holy Spirit who was trying to not get you in the mess, but you override it in the sake of being like Christ. Christ fed the 5,000. He didn't go to every city and feed 5,000. He didn't do it everywhere he went. And we'll open up food pantries in every city and every nation called Feeding the 5,000. How about this? We don't see the people of God ever shouting at walls more than once. But how many times do we do it as good Pentecostal people? If you've been in Pentecostal church or a charismatic church, I can guarantee you somewhere in their history, they marched around the church, beehives going everywhere. Bobby pins flying. No makeup on their face. Marching around. And then at the end, everybody all shouts. And then they go nuts like good Pentecostal people do. But we see it in the Bible one time. I'm not against doing good things. I think we all need to do good things. But there are times that we get in trouble trying to do something we were never directed to. And we end up blaming the Lord because we tried to please him. It really had nothing to do with the person themselves. It had to do with guilt that we felt like we had to fulfill. We are not motivated by the flesh. Let me tell you something. If you're doing things because you want the world to say nice things, if the church is ever motivated by wanting the world to say, oh, look at the godly people. I don't know why I went Irish. Like, oh, look at there. Look at the good godly people. Bless their hearts. Oh, they're fulfilling the law of the Lord. Look at them. Feeding the 5,000. Oh, good for them. Good for them. Good job there. Top of the morning to you. Tell me I like my hats shining. Sorry, that's from a movie. You know that one. Okay. Jesse laughed, a real laugh. That's very rare. That's very rare. But when the church cares about what the world thinks, we're going to be doing a right thing for the wrong reason. And it's going to end up biting us. It's going to end up getting us in more trouble. It'll end up we'll spend money in not the right place that we should be and focusing on things we should never even have been a part of. We've got to be led by the Spirit in all that we do. We can do things good that we purposed in our own heart, but better have the right reason. Because the moment you don't get what you expect in return, you better have the mentality, I did this as unto the Lord, not unto them. Nobody owes me a thank you. Nobody owes me anything. Oh, Lord, help me, Jesus. Y'all can help yourself, but I need help in all of this. Oh, where did I leave off? What scripture? Oh, they can't please God. Got to tell you something. There are church Christian people operating in the flesh that cannot please the Lord. They can't please the Lord. What they're doing is not pleasing. Because they are operating in flesh. A lot of them are operating in fear. A lot of them are operating out of condemnation and guilt. God uses none of those things to get his people to do his will. But ye are not in the flesh. Look at your neighbor and say, you're not in the flesh. Look at your other neighbor and say, but you're in the spirit. You're in the
So if you be of the Spirit of God and that dwells in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead to sin. You're dead to sin. Look at your neighbor and say, you're dead to sin. Gone is the teaching. Gone is the teaching I grew up with. Gone is the teaching. Well, we all have our sins, brother. We all have our sins. No, you don't. You know why that teaching came up? Religious men and women trying to justify their own reasoning, not dying to self and holding on to the lust of the flesh. Trying to excuse being carnal. But pastor, I've made mistakes. 1 John 1:9. Ask for forgiveness and move on. Repent and turn from your wicked ways. And that is not who you are. Just because you fail to a temptation doesn't mean it's you. Get rid of it. How do you do that? Become more spirit-minded than fleshly and carnal. Focus. Acknowledge God. I'm not saying that you have habits that need to die. But let's deal with them and stop excusing them and saying we all have our problems. We're all working. Hey, God's still working on me. I'm following God. And things that need to be perfected, I believe he'll bring them to me. He'll show me and he'll deal with them. Because if it was in my own self, I could never conquer any of it. But with him, he's made me great by his grace. I can't conquer sin, but he did on the cross. And to believe that you can't get rid of something because it's ran in your family for generations is a lie from hell that the church has embraced. We have taught forever that there's a jihad on the inside of you. There's a struggle between good and evil. There is an angel that pops up on one side and a devil that pops up on the other. And it looks like you. It talks like you. And they both try to encourage you. Tom and Jerry had it. Every cartoon had it. And every religion has it except Christianity. Christianity denies that bull junk. Churched it up right there for you. Christianity does not say you have an evil on the inside of you. Christianity says there's evil on the outside and the light of God is on the inside of you. And that with the light of God on the inside of you, if God be for you, who can be against you? Mentalities have got to shift. And this last day, mentalities have got to shift. We cannot accept things just because it's been taught all our life. The flesh here is the Greek word that means human nature. The earthly nature of man apart from the divine influence. Therefore, it opposes God and is prone to sin. So with God, there is none of this humanity that is prone to sin. I'm not saying, look, we have all missed the mark. But in Christ Jesus, we repent and move. That is dead. And what do you do with dead things? You bury it. You get rid of it. You put it away. You don't take it out and play with it. You had a pet that died, you don't dig it up every birthday and dance around with it. Oh, you brought me so much joy. Fido, I'm so thankful you were in my life and pet the bones. That's nasty. But the church has done that for years. We bury dead things and we bring them back up to play with them. Set them in our house. Put them on our coffee tables. Have whole meetings about them. Because we embraced religion instead of relationship with God. And religion is dead. Relationship with God is alive. Oh. All right. 1 John 2. Where am I out on time? I told you I'd be done early. Ugh. 1 John 2 and 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. That is the old nature, the old influence. Galatians 5 and 22 says, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, or you could say faithfulness, meekness, or you could say gentleness, temperance, or you could say self-control. Now, these are the mindset of the Spirit. This is of the Spirit. The mindset of the flesh will look at problems and see nothing but despair. The mindset of the Spirit will look at a problem and see nothing for God but an opportunity for it to show Himself strong to His people. We don't serve the Lord because He brings us out of problems every time. And that if He doesn't do this like we think He should, that then we turn away from Him. Then we'll be like the children of Israel. We'll be like other people who have followed God, who have walked away from the plan of God for their life because they served Him not because He was God, but they served Him for what they could get out of Him. It wasn't a relationship. It had nothing to do about relationship. It had everything to do about what they could suck out of the system. Well, we've got really real in this church, have we not? I'm ending right now. We've got to take thoughts captive and make them obedient to the plan of God. Thoughts will bombard you. Thoughts are not who you are. Thoughts are not who you are. I liked how Kenneth Hagin said this. He said, thoughts are like birds flying over your head. Can't stop them from flying over your head, but you can stop them from making a nest on your head. You don't have to sit and think about things that are evil or against the plan of God. Can I tell you something? Every thought that goes against the plan of God for your life is evil. If God says you're going to be victorious and you contemplate the thought continuously, I'm going to die penniless. I'm going to die with nothing that God has for my life on the inside of me. I'm going to die not accomplishing anything. That thought is evil from the pits of hell, and you need to stop meditating on it. Because you are not acknowledging God in that area, and you won't have Him directing you in that area, and you do not please Him in that area of your life. Acknowledge God in all your ways. Anybody ever watch, what is that? What is that show? Shawshank Redemption? Who said they hate Shawshank Redemption? Oh, that hurts my heart. Okay, we'll deal with that later. We'll pray for you for deliverance. Okay, who played Red? Everybody? Morgan Freeman. Morgan Freeman played Red. And there's a part in his life in the movie, you know, this is not gospel. But there's a part of his life where he's out of prison. You know, he's finally out of prison. And he's working at a grocery store bagging groceries, right? And he asks his boss, he says that he has to use the restroom. I wrote it down because I did not want to misquote him. Because, I mean, it's powerful. I mean, that man could read the Walker recall petitions, every name, and I'd pay money to listen to it. That is how good he is at narrating anything. I love everything the man narrates. But when he asks his boss permission to go to the bathroom, and then all of a sudden his boss gets frustrated with him and says, "You don't have to ask me every time you got to go to the bathroom," right? And his boss gets a little peeved. And so then as his boss is talking, he goes into narrating, right? And so I wrote it down so I wouldn't get it wrong. So he's frustrated. Then Morgan breaks into a narration about 40 years. 40 years I've been asking to go to the bathroom, and I can't squeeze out a drop without saying so. Which is kind of funny because in Driving Miss Daisy, he had to ask permission to pee as well. Man, one day Morgan Freeman will be set free and will no longer have to ask to use the restroom. Let's put that in our prayer group on Monday. But this is what he's saying. For 40 years, he's lived one way. For 40 years, he's been in captivity. For 40 years, he's been imprisoned. And yes, this applies to prisoners and things of that nature, but can I tell you something? There have been many people that's lived a lot longer than 40 years in the prison of religion, in the prison of their own mindset. And even though freedom has come to them, even though they have been set free, made free, they see the scriptures, there's truth that is set before them, they still feel like they can't walk in it to the fullness that God has said they can because of 40 years of being imprisoned. And we are in a day today that this church, and not just when I say this church, yes, this church, but the church, the body of Christ across this nation and across this world, won't be asking to go to the bathroom anymore. Can't help it. They'll stand and pee freely. Everything in me said, don't say that. Everything in me said, don't say that. But I just couldn't help it. I could have, but I didn't want to. I'll let you judge whether that was carnal or spiritual. But can I tell you something? Even in our own nation, when we had slavery in our own nation and all of a sudden freedom came, there were landowners who got a scheme to keep slavery in operation. And it was to tell the slaves, you lived on our land for free. We didn't charge you anything for this house. We didn't charge you anything for living here. You owe us money. Now you'll work to pay it off. You're free. You're free, but you'll work to pay it off. Do you know the U.S. government had to send armies in to get people off the land? Can I tell you, even with them sending armies in, there were still people who came back and still worked on the same land, free, but going in debt every day. They never paid them more than they charged them to live on the land. And they made sure they always had someone to do the labor. They had every right to leave. They owed them nothing. But because they lived in a mentality that they wasn't able to break free from, they stayed imprisoned. I'm going to tell you something. God has great things for your life. He has a destiny for you. And today, I am believing that you are going to be set free. You're going to walk off the plantation of your mindset. You're going to walk off the plantation of what mom and daddy and every teacher and everybody ever said about you, every report that was stated about you. You're going to walk free from that. And you're going to be able to live in that God has called you. He has healed you. He has brought you out of the miry clay and set your feet upon the solid rock, which is Jesus. And with him on the inside of you, there's nothing that you cannot do. There's no call that he has called you to that you cannot accomplish. You may say, I can't go to the nations. I can't do all this stuff. Let me tell you something. If it's your call, yes, you can. I can't speak to people. Yes, you can. Maybe in your own abilities, you don't have it on the inside of you. But where you are weak, he has made you strong. It is his strength. And at the end, you will be able to stand up and say, this was not me. This was the Lord. In my own abilities, there was no way I could pull this off. But God made this great, and it was by his grace. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you. Every person in this place right now, I want you to ask the Holy Spirit. I want you to ask God, in this message, what were you telling me? What were you trying to point out to me? Let's take a moment and ask that question. I believe the Lord will respond to you. Thank you, Lord. Some of you, I believe God has already given answers to. Some of us, I believe he will continue to talk to you throughout the week, that he'll point things out, show you things. I want to ask this question. If you're in this place and you say, Pastor,